man. I've been thinking a lot about relationships. And so the message that I want to share with you today is entitled, I guess, just relationships, right? And if you wanted to do notes, I'm kind of break it down in just a few little areas for each one. You could start off by saying relationship with God, and then have worship and the body. You could talk about relationship, point number two, relationship with your family, which includes marriage and family and that kind of thing, with worship and the body, and then relationship with others, and then the worship and the body, what those look like in each one of these areas. And so let's just take a moment and pray together as we get into the message today. So thank you, Father, just for your love, just for your presence. God, thank you for the opportunity to worship, to fellowship together. We're so blessed. We know that this is a day that you've made, Lord, and we rejoice in it. We're glad in it, and we're just grateful for this opportunity to be able to be here today and give you praise and the glory. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just have your way in our hearts, that you would speak to us today, that you would speak through me, and that you would be glorified, God, through the preaching and the sharing of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think when I think about these areas of relationship, these three different areas, our relationship with God, our relationship with our family, our relationship with others, I think obviously the very most important relationship of all is our relationship with God. Amen. I think every healthy relationship from there on out can only be healthy if we have a right relationship with God. Anything outside of that, we can always make our best attempts at, and there's good days and bad days in all of those relationships, right? But ultimately, I believe God's heart toward us, because he has made us relational, we have a desire to be in relationship. And that's part of the way that I believe God made us. And so if we focus first on our relationship with God, and if that is the most important thing in our lives, if that's the most important relationship ever, I believe we'll see then the blessing and the love and the power of God flowing in areas of our lives, and especially in our relationships where we may have not have seen them before. Amen. And so I want to start off with that today, because I think about the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and I've got just several different scriptures that all kind of tie together. But the opposite of what our priority relationship with God looks like is that we would desire to isolate. And that can be kind of dangerous for us. There's nothing wrong with being alone. I think it's great to have some alone time. But generally speaking, I think what people are looking for, whether they're followers of Christ or not, I believe what every person is looking for is a right relationship with God. I believe that's at the heart of every person. And many times people look for that in the soul realm. They look for that in different ways or different avenues that they try to explore how to find peace or how to find love or whatever those things might be. And when people that, well, whether people know Christ or don't know Christ, when you need some time alone, that can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what you do with that alone time. So my encouragement to you this morning is take some alone time, but let that be a focus of seeking and pursuing what your relationship with your Father looks like, your Heavenly Father. Amen. Because when you do that, I believe that gives us the foundation for the rest of our lives. Amen. For what our relationships can look like and what the heart of God is like. When I think about, again, I love being out here in the garden, and I can't help but think of the Garden of Eden, right? And I believe God's demonstration of his love, his heart towards man was evident in that he was walking with man in the cool of the day. And we're getting into the warmer part of the day, so I'm guessing that must have been morning or evening. Generally speaking, it's probably going to be cooler at those times. But I was kind of walking around in the garden here this morning as we were preparing for our worship and ministry time. And I was just kind of walking and praying, and I thought, how awesome of a picture would it be to realize that God the creator of heaven and earth, that God, the one whose image I'm made in, was walking right there with me. I mean, in a real, tangible way that we could be conversing. And I believe that's what it was like in the Garden of Eden. And you and I, we have that opportunity through what Christ has done to have a restoration of that relationship. And everything that you see all throughout the Bible, I think everything that you see all throughout what Christ accomplished was to restore that relationship. For us to have that kind of intimacy, that kind of openness, that kind of relationship where we're just walking with God, where He's speaking to us, we're speaking to Him, we're sharing things, and it's all by the Spirit of God that takes place. There's kind of a mystery in it in some ways. But if we do things in our own strength, our tendency then would be to isolate and avoid that relationship. And that's I just want to encourage you to not do that. Amen. Not to isolate, not to detach yourself or be afraid of God. Because I think sometimes what happens is people have a wrong picture of who God their Father is. And that comes from all kinds of things. It comes from misinterpretation of the scripture. It comes from all kinds of strategies of the enemy. I don't know how it all plays out, but many times we can have this picture of who God is that is not correct. That's right. Now, do we need to have reverence and respect for God? Yeah, of course, right? I mean, he is the creator of all. But I don't think it's supposed to be a fear in the standpoint of pushing us away from God. I think it's supposed to be a respect and an awe that says, if anybody is going to understand me, if anybody has the power to help me, if anybody can show me love, it's God.
That's right.
It's my Father, and that I'm gonna run to Him. I'm not gonna run away from Him. Amen. So I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know where each of you are at in your relationship with God and in the condition of your heart. You know that, and God knows that. My encouragement to you this morning is to run to God. Amen. Run to Him. Let that be the most important, the most vital relationship in your life. Amen. I think as we do that, again, I wanted to talk about a couple of different things. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, He says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And I mean, this is just an awesome picture of heaven. First of all, it kind of says, kind of gets me to thinking about heaven instead of earth, which is awesome. I have no idea entirely what heaven's going to be like, but one of the things that I really see in this scripture as it pertains to our relationships is that this is an eternal commitment that God has made. Amen? He's committed to us eternally. He has made that evident. I love the scripture that says God manifested or demonstrated His love toward us in this: even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that He died for us so that we could enter into eternal life, so that we could have a restoration of this most important relationship forever. Amen. And that eternity for you and I begins here, and it begins now. If you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, when you come to that place of knowing Him, that's when eternal life begins. Amen. And that we have this eternity with Him. I love that heart. Somebody said, and I can't remember exactly how it was said or who said it, but it was something to the standpoint of that salvation isn't us inviting Christ into our heart or Christ into our life. Essentially, it's Christ inviting us into His life. That's what salvation is. Amen. And it kind of gives us that perspective that I'm kind of less important in the relationship. Amen. That Christ is the most important. Christ is the one who's paid the price, who's done the work, who's fulfilled all the requirements of the law. And it's simply me entering in and accepting His invitation to participate in life. Amen. And so when we think about that from the terms of our relationship, what does that look like then for worship? I believe worship in our relationship with God is the very expression of that relationship. I think that is the purest form of worship. That is the purest expression of worship, comes out of a relationship with our Father, a relationship with Christ, a relationship moved and activated by the Spirit of God. Amen. And that expression of thanks, of honor, of praise, of everything that it is that applies to this relationship, that is the purest form of what worship is. Amen. So when we gather here today, amen, the whole point of that is for us to worship God, to thank Him, to praise Him, for Him to inhabit the praises that we express through our hearts and through our lips. Amen. And that worship comes from, I would say this, the more and more I understand who God is and His goodness and His love and His mercy and His grace and His everything about Him, the more worship just is something that just wants to be expressed. Amen. And that we demonstrate that. It doesn't have to just be, and it isn't just on Sunday mornings. I believe worship is meant to be the expression of that life through us all the time. Amen. That at any moment, day or night, middle of the night, middle of the day, that there's a heart and an expression of this most important vital relationship that can be expressed. Amen. As we give praise. And so then a body is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says this: the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you not know, in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I think as we come to understand, it's kind of a journey, isn't it? And I know we've talked a lot about journeys, and everyone that I talk to, whether they know Christ or don't know Christ, it seems like they're on a journey. Everybody's searching for truth. They may not call it that, right? But everybody's on this journey, this discovery process of what is the meaning of life, and what, you know, all these different kind of things that mankind has asked themselves for, at least all throughout documented history, probably before that, right? That there's just this, who is God? Can I know Him? What is the meaning of life? I believe it's by the Spirit of God that we discover that He leads us. The Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And it's the Spirit then that leads us and gives us opportunity to hear the gospel or hear the truth of how much the Father loves us, and leads us, I believe, to that point of salvation, of receiving that love that was demonstrated through Christ on the cross, amen, and through His power, His resurrection. And it's then by the Holy Spirit then working and moving in our lives. And so then our body, we begin to understand that my body is that temple, is a vessel that the Holy Spirit lives in me. Man, that's pretty phenomenal when you really begin to think about it. And that we are created in the image of God, amen, that we are spirit, soul, and body. And when we have this right perspective of the very most important relationship, I believe we understand that it's spirit, that the Spirit is the one that leads and directs and orchestrates our life, amen. Because sometimes when we isolate, or if we don't know the Father, if we don't come to that point of salvation, it tends to be our soul or our body that leads our lives rather than the Spirit of God. So that first and foremost, most important relationship of all is relationship with God. The second one then is relationship with family. Relationship either in marriage or you know, as a single person, how you view yourself, how you relate to others in your family. Essentially, this is the area of the closest relationships that we have here on earth. Okay, I guess you could think about it that way. I had the opportunity this week to officiate a wedding, and I love weddings. They're just really cool to me, right? I think everybody tends to be happy at weddings, even though there's crying going on. I don't know how that exactly happens. Tears of joy, right? But as I was officiating this wedding and preparing for that, I think of the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. I'm not going to read those all this morning. You can read those on your own if you want to. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 gives us this picture of how a husband and wife are supposed to treat each other. It says, husbands, you should love your wives like Christ loves the church. Wives, you should respect your husbands. And this picture of marriage is really just an example of what the ultimate relationship is, whereas Christ represents the groom, the church represents the bride, and it's just our best attempt or us making the example of what that commitment, what that covenant looks like. And it's that closest relationship that we can have here, and if we make that the most important relationship, I believe we're going to be missing a great opportunity to really experience God's love. Amen. Now listen, my wife, if I had to put a chart together and put who was at the top of the chart of everyone here, my wife would be at the top of the chart. Okay, so I'm not saying, son, come on. But I mean, I hopefully you understand what I'm saying. Obviously, that is a very important relationship to me. But one of the things that I love and value about the relationship my wife and I do have is that we both understand that Christ is more important than me. Christ is more important than you. That relationship is secondary, the relationship that I have. But those relationships, they are valuable. They are important. And just like we talked about isolation, running away from God, I think we can make our relationships here, our relationships with our family, more important, or that they are the ones that dictate and determine who we are or what we do. And so that was really, if you didn't catch anything today, it's got to be that, right? But it's that relationship that is important, but must be second. You, as a single person, must be second. And you think, well, how does that make any sense? Well, if you understand the relationship with God and that He's first, you're always going to be second, right? As family, if you're married or if you have close family, those relationships have to be second. They have to be second, I believe, in order for you to experience the fullness of what it is that God desires to do and work in our lives. I believe our families, our close families, are really kind of a picture of the church in some ways. The way families function together, it's a mystery to me. I spent a few days out of town with family. Some of them are here this morning, right? Some of them I haven't seen for a while. But when I look at this, I'm thinking this is pretty phenomenal in some ways, right? Here's a family that came from the same bloodline, and yet there's just such a variety of personalities and giftings and all kinds of things. But there's something that's deeper than those personalities and giftings. There's something that in the midst of all of the dysfunction and all of the other things, there's something that binds us together, that we can love each other, that we can spend some time together without hurting each other, right? I mean, it can be, it's a really kind of a beautiful thing when you think of it, right? And it's kind of a mystery. I believe, that a lot of that is just the blessing of God, the favor of God that has been manifested upon my family. I mean, my dad got saved when I was a kid. I believe if he hadn't have done that, our family would probably look much worse than it does, right? I mean, every family is probably going to have, some dysfunctions, right? There's no perfect earthly family, and yet as I see the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God demonstrated in my family, that we went from a family that was lost to a family that's being found. Amen. There's people in the family getting saved, surrendering their hearts, coming to a revelation or an understanding of the power of the gospel, and it comes out of the proper order of what those relationships are meant to be. Amen. And I believe that's a picture, what I see of the church, is that we're all from the same bloodline, those who follow Christ. Amen. We enter into that bloodline. We're born of His seed, of His blood. Amen. And so we're all born of that same lineage, and yet there's such a variety of personalities and giftings. And in God's eyes, the church is perfect. It is without wrinkle and without blemish. And praise God, He's working that out in us. But there's something beautiful that goes deeper than our own backgrounds and our own differences and our own giftings and personalities. It's something that's a beautiful working of the Spirit of God and the love of God that allows us then to gather together. And when I think of worship, this is that point where worship becomes something that's shared. Amen. In our relationship with God, it's something that's intimate, and it's an expression just of my relationship. And as we come together as husband and wife, or as family, or even as a church, it's something where worship becomes shared, that we are participating with someone else in the expression of worship. That's an awesome thing. Amen. When the Spirit of God, there's places all throughout Scripture that talk about unity and how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. I believe that's part of what it's talking about here. Amen. That we're able to set aside differences, set aside all these different things, and come to this place of unity where we're worshiping and expressing together the heart of God and His goodness. Amen. This is the point where I think marriage, or not just marriage, but in any point, the body, our physical body, is something that becomes surrendered. There's a grace of God that you can almost get away with anything with God, right? And He's just going to keep loving you. But there's something about a relationship, a marriage, or a family, that you're not going to get away with certain things, right? And that's a good thing. So this is going to get old by the end of the day if this continues. But there's something of those relationships that is good for us, that can kind of remind us of maybe some boundaries or some things where we begin to surrender our lives, where we begin to realize, for me, you've heard me all say it before, it was when I got married that I realized how selfish I really was. I mean, I thought, you know, I was a selfish person before. I was unsaved. I was, there was no question that I was selfish. I would not deny that. When I got saved, when Christ began to change my life, man, after a few years, I'm thinking, man, I wasn't actually thinking this, but just for the sake of illustration, you think, man, I'm the most humble guy there is. You can see, because I can see how much the Lord has changed my life, how much selfishness He's worked out of me. And then when you get married, it's like an epiphany all over again, because you realize, man, I'm still really selfish. But see, that's a good thing. And so as single people, you have challenges of your own, dealing with selfishness that has nothing to do necessarily with a spouse. But we begin to recognize these areas, and the value of these relationships are important. Amen. It's good to have these relationships and have someone that can speak into your life, that it can encourage, but also challenge and bring those together. Man, thank God, amen, for family. Amen. Thank God that there's going to be somebody, hopefully, that's just going to tell you the truth. Right. If nobody else does, man, if you got just one or two people that are going to tell you the truth, you're a blessed person.
Amen.
Amen. And that's right. When we speak the truth in love, that's as good as it gets, because then you can speak it and you can also receive it. Amen. And that truth can begin to edify and direct our lives. And so then the last area that I want to look at is our relationship with others outside the family. And this would be, ways that you could think of these relationships would be your workplace, or people at the gym, membership. But I mean, just, you know, these clubs or activities or places, social areas, right? 16th Street Mall or the baseball game or wherever it might be, you're out and you're amongst others. Those, I believe, are important relationships, but certainly they have to be third. Amen. The third most important relationships are those relationships. The danger sometimes here is that people actually make those the most important relationships. And so people in at the gym or people in the club or at wherever it is, they're the ones that are dictating your life. Whereas the body, your body, becomes the one that's leading rather than even your soul, you know. And ultimately, of course, out of the best relationship of all is in unity with the Spirit, where the Spirit of God is directing our lives. But the you know, community is important. Your workplace is important. How you function at work is important. But I believe that ultimately, out of that right relationship with God, those areas are supposed to be where we're shining like light. See, those aren't necessarily places where we're supposed to find satisfaction, so to speak, or acceptance. I mean, it's great if we do, but ultimately, I believe those places are meant to be where you and I, as followers of Christ, manifest the love of God. That's where worship becomes something that's not just intimacy between you and God, or not just something that's shared together like we have here this morning, but it's something that becomes public. It's something that anyone can see, that is a shining of light that's going to catch somebody's attention. I see that in a lot of different ways, and that can take all kinds of different expressions. Certainly we've all seen that kind of thing taken to an extreme where people are just yelling at you that you're going to hell, and I don't think that's really probably going to accomplish anything necessarily. It might push people farther away. But then there's also these expressions. I see it a lot with, you know, with professional athletes. You think of Tim Tebow, you know, he was on one aspect slammed by a lot of people for being so expressive, and on another side thinking, man, that's awesome. You know, and everybody's different, but there is an expression, I believe, of what worship is, of what our ultimate number one relationship is. There is an expression of that in the public arena. Amen. And that we can be that light at work. We can be that light at the ball game. We can have opportunities. I've shared in recent weeks all these little ministry moments where these little one or two or few minute encounters that I've had with people I know or people I don't know, where it's just something of the Spirit of God working and moving, giving me opportunity to encourage somebody or give them some money to help or share the gospel, or it can be anything. But it's that expression where I believe that those relationships are supposed to be the healthiest. Amen. Is when we have that understanding of who we are in Christ, and we have those types of relationships where we're able and free and at liberty not to hide anything. I don't have anything to hide, right? And that's a good place to be, especially when you're out in the community, right? Or on social media. You know, I guess I can't exclude social media. Those, I don't know if you can really count those as relationships or not. I was going through Facebook the other day, and I'm like, I have a friend, and it's like, I don't even know who this person is. I don't remember them even sending me a friend request. Is there a way that you can become friends with somebody on Facebook without responding? There's got to be. Well, then I must have hit it by accident. I don't know what happened, but it's like, I do not know who this person is. Right? So I've got a lot of friends. Right? Not as many as some of you. But I mean, it's like, but it's like, really? Yeah. You know, who has more friends than me, you know? Well, I believe that can be, though, an avenue, an opportunity to shine light, to share the gospel. It can also be really frustrating if you get too caught up in some of those conversations. It's a whole lot easier to just say, man, you know what? I'm not even going to go there. But there is a healthy way, I believe, that we can express the love of God in social media, in public places, in the community, amen, to point people towards Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I believe that's what Jesus was saying right there. Amen. That our that when I'm just praying or worshiping or, you know, walking in just my relationship with God, you know, that tends to be something where I'm kind of alone, where he's speaking something to me, or if you're with your spouse or with close family, that's kind of a different expression. But this, I believe what Jesus was saying was focusing on the world. Amen. God's heart is to show love to everybody, isn't it? I believe he demonstrated it. I believe everything Christ did was for that purpose, and yet that comes through you and I many times. Well, almost all the time. There may be opportunities where people just have a vision of Jesus. I've heard of testimonies like that, and that's awesome. But I think there's opportunities for you and I to shine that light, amen, to show people what that healthy relationship with God looks like, and for it to be something that helps them, that shines light in a dark place, that shows love, that brings encouragement and hope and those kinds of things. So this is where worship then is something that becomes public. And then from the aspect of the body, I believe it kind of shifts to where the body becomes who the church is. Amen? That there are many, many members and yet one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says this, as the body is one, there are many members, but all of the members of that one body are one body in Christ. Amen? And that I believe that's the expression and that's the understanding, not where our physical body, but where the body of Christ is something that becomes also that expression of love, that becomes something that is a place where people can be accepted and welcomed and loved, and it's something that is for those that don't know Christ. Hopefully it's the expression of God's love in what many people sometimes place as community or those areas where they're looking for acceptance and those kinds of things. And so when you think about this, I just want you to take a moment this morning. If you would, just close your eyes and just kind of take a moment right here. Because as I said earlier, really you're the only one that knows the condition of your own heart. And all these different relationships, they're all important. Relationships with our co-workers and with the community, those are important. Maybe they're healthy for you, maybe they're not healthy, I don't know. Your marriage or your family, those are important. Those are valuable, significant relationships. And yet they're not the most important. Because certainly understanding and knowing the love of God and being right in your heart with him, of entering into that place of life and relationship, and the most important relationship that is going to affect and influence every other relationship, that's got to be the priority. It's got to be the priority for us to live in this day and this time. And as you kind of examine your own heart in these last few moments and during the course of this message, I would just ask you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, but you want to know him, you want to make that most important relationship the most important relationship for you, you're the only one that knows that. But as our eyes are closed, and if that's you here this morning, would you just lift your hand and you'd say, I want to know Christ as my Lord and my Savior this morning. Amen. I see your hand. Anyone else? Praise God. So maybe you're here this morning and you do know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. But you would say, you know what? I see some places where I've made maybe some of these other relationships a little more important. And I wanna surrender my life. I wanna, you know, essentially rededicate my life. I wanna get back to that place of my first love. That's you here this morning. Would you just lift your hand? Anyone at all? I I see your hands, amen. I see your many hands this morning. Praise God. I'm just, for those of you that lifted your hand, I'm not gonna have you come up this morning, but I just want to take a moment and pray for you. So Father, I thank you for those that have lifted their hand. This one that lifted their hand to receive salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if that was you here in this place this morning, I just want to kind of lead you through a prayer. You can just say this in your spirit as I say it, because the scripture tells us that if we repent, if we believe that God raised Christ from the dead, and if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. And so if that was you here this morning and you lifted your hand, would you just pray this in your own heart? You say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the gift of salvation. And I repent. I surrender. I turn over my life to you. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I receive that life. I enter into that life right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you were one of those that lifted your hand about just recommitting your life, about just kind of returning to that relationship, getting back in right standing with who God is, I just want to pray for you here this morning. Father, I thank you for those that you're speaking to, that you're directing in this morning. I praise you for your heart of love. I praise you for your goodness and your grace. You are so patient and so gracious with us that you have never stopped loving us. For those, Lord, that have lifted their hands this morning, Lord, I thank you that you just remind them of that. Remind them of your great love towards them. Just like the prodigal son who went out on his own, and yet when he returned, there was no condemnation. There was just arms of love. There was just openness. There was restoration. There was healing. There was love. There was rejoicing. And so, Father, those that lifted their hands for that this morning, Lord, I know that you are rejoicing, and we rejoice with them and with you, God, that you are speaking and moving and working in their lives, and you are bringing that restoration of that relationship and that right standing with you, Father, that they are back to that place where it's like you, their relationship with you is the most important relationship in their lives. And so I thank you for that. And so, Father, for each one of us also, all of us that have gathered here today, we're just so grateful for your word, Lord. We're so grateful for the moving and the working of your spirit, for the opportunity that we've had this morning to just enjoy the beauty of creation, to worship together, to hear your word. And we're just grateful, Father. I speak a blessing over each and every one of us today, God, as we leave this place, as we go our separate ways. I just ask, Father, that you watch over each one of us. Father, those that aren't here with us this morning for other reasons, God, we just speak your blessing over them as well. God, that you just direct all of our footsteps and our paths this week, and that we'll be able to gather together again to worship and honor you. So we give you, Lord, all the praise, all the glory in that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.